So good to be here this morning to worship, singing praises to God. It's uplifting to always do that together and to be able to be together so that we can grow closer to one another and become stronger as a family of God's children here. We're happy to have visiting with us our daughters, Mandy and Angie, and their boys. Their husbands aren't able to be with us today. We hope to see them this week. Jeremy is on his flight to Chicago this morning, so we are praying for him. And he's on a business trip for a convention. He'll be returning on Friday, I believe, or Thursday night. And Nick will be coming over this week. So we hope to all be together as a family. But we're happy to have 8 of our grandchildren here this morning. Cooper and Sawyer and Dodge and Max and Rusty and Wallace and Ezra and Levi. So we're happy to have all of them. And we're looking forward to a week together. And we're going to be reading some Dr. Seuss stories together and having some activities with our grandchildren. But we appreciate everyone being here together as we worship God, study His Word together this morning. And I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 2. We won't be looking in every verse of this, but this verse, this passage is teaching us something that is very important in life, and that is that we need to be seeking wisdom as we go through our lives. And we're going to be talking this morning, I'd like to talk about the times of our life. As we look around and see the different age groups that we have just here this morning, we're reminded of the changes of life that we all go through. As we grow up from young people to young adults and we get married, and then we see our children growing up and we see them getting married and beginning their families, and we're going more into our middle life years. And then we began having grandchildren and we began moving into the older stages of our life, what we might call the golden years. Life is a beautiful thing. And God makes every part of life special for us to look forward to. And especially if we do have wisdom from God to approach life and be able to have a relationship with God in our life at these various stages, God will be our closest friend the longer we go through life. And when life eventually comes to an end, we are ready to go and be with Him. And it is a beautiful thing when we are able to understand God's plan for our life. But as we live our lives, oftentimes we struggle because there are such major changes that we come in contact with. As we go from one stage to the other of life, the change can seem frightening and can seem upsetting and troubling to us. And it can leave us at times feeling a sense of loss or a sense of emptiness and begin to feel depression or other lonely feelings as we go through these different parts of life. But if we are able to have the proper wisdom and understanding and see God's purpose and plan, we can see the importance of how and why God has prepared life the way He has. If we are able to have a solid foundation for our life in the Lord, as David speaks about in Psalms chapter 27 and verse 4, when he said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And so we learn from that that the ultimate purpose of life is to dwell in the house of the Lord, to have a relationship with God throughout life. And that as we go through life, God is always there. He is the constant. Life itself is constantly changing. We are, you know, we're leaving one part of life, one phase, and we're moving into another. And then we are moving into a third and then a fourth. And life seems to be unstable and very short and brief and changing. But God is always there. He is unchanging. So David said that one thing he had desired of God, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. That should be our desire. And if we can have that relationship with God and the wisdom that comes from Him, as we find here in Proverbs chapter 2, where he says, "If you search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." God gives us wisdom in life so that we can enjoy all of life, so that we can understand that every part of life is preparing us for eternal home that we have to look forward to with God. But I want to speak of the times of change that we have in our life, that each of which we learn from and each one we are able to develop and grow in our relationship with God. And so first of all, I'd like to speak with you about the teenage years. And the teenage years, we would say from 12 to 20, in that period of time in life where we are no longer children, we are in an adolescence of life, and we are not yet adults. We are still living with our parents, but we are beginning to take on some of the thinking of growing up and experiencing things that are more of an adult life. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, Solomon said, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." So he gives us a bit of advice here in saying that God wants us to enjoy this time of life. Yet, God wants us to understand that there can be consequences if we don't act with wisdom in this time of our life, that we must understand that there is an accountability, that we will stand before God in judgment. God wants us, though, to enjoy this time of our life. Our young youth is a time, usually, of we don't have as many physical encumbrances of life so that we can enjoy life. You know, we don't have any house payments. We don't have a family to feed. We don't have a lot of those responsibilities. On the other hand, this time of life is a time of great pressure. It's a time when we feel a pressure to follow others, to follow along with our friends, and to do those things that they are doing. There is a challenge there and a possibly a danger, that here is where wisdom will give us the strength to break away from the crowd, to make our own convictions of how we should choose between right and wrong in life. To have the wisdom to listen to God. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." So young people are oftentimes in a situation where before they realize it, we can be pulled into a situation, are influenced into a situation where can be very harmful things can happen for us, for other people. Just this week, my nephew from Sacramento and his wife and their fat young boys, they came by to visit us for a couple of hours, and we were talking with them, and he was telling us one of these type of things that happened in his life as a teenager, where he was with a friend, and his friend, before he even understood what was happening, was involved in a crime. And his friend was telling him, "Okay, we got to run. The cops are coming." And so they got out of the car and they took off running. And my nephew, before he even understood what was going on, was caught up in the middle of this. So they got away and they got home. And a day or two later, though, here they see the police cars pulling up in front of his house, and his mother and father and his brothers and sisters and his grandparents are all there at the house at this time, and he has to explain, "Why are the police coming to our home?" And of course, he understood exactly why they were coming to his home. So he learned a lesson, and his good character helped him in that a lot, that when all was said and done, the judges understood more of what actually happened. But it's so easy for young people to be in a situation, and sometimes young people have the invincibility syndrome, that they believe that they can do things and there will be no consequences. They sometimes believe, "Well, I will never get pregnant. I will never get some disease. I can drink and I can drive," and they begin to feel invincible, that nothing could go wrong, and oftentimes things do go wrong. So there is a tendency sometimes among young people to have a cavalier attitude about sin, and believe that I'm young, it's time for me to enjoy my life, and later on I will become more serious about choosing between right and wrong. The Bible says that there are going to be consequences to our actions. "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Young people need to be aware then of putting off decisions about spiritual choices and spiritual responsibilities until later in life, thinking that I have plenty of time to take care of these responsibilities. All that I need to be enjoying now is cars and dates and sports and school and things like that. And I'm not going to worry about, I'm not going to think about eternal things, because I'm just a young person. Satan wants us to think that way, to not take any serious responsibility in this time of our life. God, on the other hand, says in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." And when the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy as a young evangelist, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise your youth, But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So young people need to be set an example for others to choose to have convictions about life and to make those decisions at that time. That's going to help us as we begin to face some of the coming changes in life to make the right choices there. All right, let's look at the second period of time in our life that is a major time is when we are building a home. We are getting married, we are starting our family, and we are thinking in terms of building a family and building a life for our own family. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, Jesus said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they, the two, shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Now, one of the great challenges of this time of life is the attitude of learning to be thinking of others before yourself. To put your thoughts to your family. To think of your wife. To think of your children and their welfare instead of our own. That is important in the marriage relationship. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter is speaking to husbands, and he says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, with your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." We learn in this time of our life to think of our wife. And that is a very valuable lesson for us to learn. To think of others and put their welfare and their needs ahead of our own. To become more unselfish, to become more others-oriented in life. When our children are born, there's even a greater awareness, a feeling of that responsibility that I have another life now. I have another soul that I am needing to care for and nurture and bring and teach and train and be an example. So if we have lived a very selfish, self-centered life all the way up until now, this becomes hard for a young man to be able to suddenly change and think of his wife and think of his children. It's so much easier if some of this wisdom, he has already acquired that beforehand, and he understands that I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church in a sacrificial way. One of the great temptations of this time of life that young couples have and young parents have is how we manage our time and how we spend our money, the choices that we make in life. What are we seeking? What are our priorities in life to be? In Psalm 127, the psalmist David, he said that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. And one of the great pressures that young families feel is to be successful, to provide for our families, to have a career that we would become successful in many ways. And the temptation sometimes is we need to be working two jobs. We need to start a little business on the side. We need to be involved in all of these different things so that we can achieve success. And yet, at the same time, the priority in our life should be upon God. It should be seeking first those things that are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. And if we aren't doing that, then it's going to have consequences in our families later on, the further we go. So we are torn. We're trying to do one thing, and but we need to have a higher set of principles and a higher set of values that are in place, so that the demands of our time are not so unmanageable because we have proper priorities. One thing that happens sometimes because of this is that the children get shortchanged. Parents can be so busy in providing for the family that we don't take proper time with our children to love them, to train them, to spend time with them, and to impart some of this wisdom too through our example, that we have managed our lives and ordered our lives in the way that we would like to see them later on make those same choices in their lives. So we need to keep our eyes on the goal and not get caught up in what the book of Ecclesiastes describes as chasing after the wind. And Ecclesiastes uses that expression quite a bit, chasing after the wind, that it says, "And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly, and I perceive that this is also grasping for the wind." Well, what he is really saying is that when we are chasing things of this world, we are never going to catch up to them, and they are not there to hold on to. The only thing that is really there to hold on to is our faith in God. And that God can help us to have a well-balanced, well-ordered life that will focus on the proper goal. In other words, if we are not chasing after God, then we are chasing after the wind. And we're going to come up empty sooner or later. So the important thing to understand, one of the important things to understand of this time of life, is to have a sense of higher priority on what the ultimate goal of life is. That is something even greater than my job and my career and making the bills and paying the payments and those things. And trying to get to a point where we'd be successful in an earthly way. There is a greater goal that we need to not lose sight of. Now, the third stage of life is where we begin to learn to grow old. This is the time of life where we would say the empty nest, the children are all grown and they are married and they are beginning their families. And this is a difficult time for men, as different time also for wives, to struggle with this time in life. Men, it begins to become obvious to us that we are losing some of our strength. We're getting older. We're not as strong as we used to be. And for a woman, it affects a woman much more emotionally. The loneliness of the feeling of, I'm not needed anymore, I don't have any purpose, I don't have any place, and all of my children are grown, and what am I going to do with my life? So a lot of times, it's very stressful, there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of loneliness, there can be a lot of depression. Dealing and coping with that change that sets in this time of your life. The Bible tells us that we need to keep pressing on to the goal. He said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And one thing that sometimes happens in our marriage relationship is that we've been always focusing on raising our children, and now our children are all grown, and we have to learn all over again how to be a husband and wife and build a relationship of our marriage properly. There's many challenges that happen in this time of our life, but we need to have the focus that the goal is making it to heaven, being faithful to God, continuing to grow in our spiritual lives, in our prayer lives, in reading and studying the Bible together, and growing in that way in our lives, and then we will have a happiness and we will have a completeness and a fulfillment of our purpose of our life as God would have it to be. We need to know where our treasure is stored up, and our treasures need to be laid up in heaven, where neither moth and rust corrupt and thieves do not break and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth destroys and thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your hearts will be also. And that is what will bring us joy. Our joy is in being in Christ, in having a relationship with God. Yes, and seeing our families grow up, and we all are excited about that, and spending time with our grandchildren like we are able to do this week. And it's all beautiful. It's all wonderful. We need to have that laying up treasures in heaven, and enjoying this time of life that God gives us as we learning to grow older in life. The fourth stage of life is enjoying the golden years, the final stages of life. And it's easy for some, on the one hand, to look at this time of life and think, I have it made. You know, I have been a Christian all of my life, and I have it made now. I am in the older time of my life. And as a result of that, sometimes people in this lose it all as far as their commitment to God. We need to continue to realize that we are to make our calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1 and verse 9. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Again, we need to continue to grow spiritually. Our bodies are growing old and they are becoming weak and with aging. But our spirit is renewed day by day. We also see that some people in this time of life feel that there's no place for them. There's no use. That they can't have anything that they can contribute that is of any value. And that's not true. There is so much that the older person has to offer that they can be of great service and be of great value in the kingdom of God in this time of their life. And David in the Psalms, in Psalm 92, he said, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So in that time of life, we need to avoid feeling despondent, feeling overconfident. We need to just be able to say, well, God has given me this time in my life, and I have a lot of wisdom, I have a lot of experience. I can share that with other younger Christians, with younger wives and mothers, and I have a lot that I can do in the way of service. We have seen a great example of that, of Felix and Catherine Thomas and their commitment of going and serving. And we see that in many of our older members here. We are enjoying the gatherings like we had at Gary and Sharon's house this week. It was great to enjoy the hospitality of their home and be able to get together as a group of fellow Christians, that there's things that we can be doing that can strengthen us and strengthen each other in the church. So there's a lot that we can do and benefit in that time of our life if we approach it properly. We have a lot to offer, and the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, he's not referring here to the elders of the church. He's referring to the older people in making this statement. The older brethren, the older men and women of the church, submit yourselves. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Sometimes older people feel very despondent. There is even a high rate of suicide, sadly, among older people as the aches and pains begin to set in and the aging process. But we need to remember that we are valuable to God, that we have been forgiven of our sins, that we should not lose sight of the blessings that we have in Christ and the hope that we have in heaven that is stored up for us as we come closer to that time of life. This is a wonderful time of life to be able to look forward to and to relish and think of the hope that we have in heaven that is awaiting us after this life is over. We cannot live any phase of our life properly without God. That is why it's so important for us to listen to what the writer of Proverbs is saying when he says here in Proverbs chapter 2, as we read earlier, that the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. And so it can be in our lives if we store up that wisdom and we understand that each part of life, God has put it there for a purpose. And it's all part of His plan to prepare us for the life to come and help others, such as our children and our friends and family and the church, to be help one another to make it to that goal. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected. We're going to invite you to come that you might commit your life to Christ in obedience to the gospel and be baptized into Christ. So we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.